The traditional Advent season invites all of us into 4 weeks of deep reflection. I really want to encourage us to reflect, not just go through Christmas and Advent, but to actually take time during the week, even this morning, to reflect on the Advent, which is talking about coming and arrival of Jesus of Nazareth, as well as his promised return. More than a countdown to Christmas, Advent embraces the way of Jesus and encourages hopeful waiting, and this morning, courageous peace. Next week is resilient joy, and after that, self-giving love. The Advent season leads us toward the celebration of Jesus' birth, but also emphasizes future arrival. He's coming back. It reminds us that we're living in the time in between God, Jesus' first and his second advent, leading us to lament the hardships, as we talked about last week, we experience in this still broken world, while also forming us into people who wait with longing for the renewed world to come. The angels announcing the birth of Jesus declare peace on earth, goodwill to all men, all people. And one of the descriptors in the titles for Jesus Christ is the Prince of Peace. Jesus Christ is the Messiah, and people wanted peace through him by defeating the Romans at the time when he came. But that didn't happen. Earlier this week, I was watching a reputable podcast, and they were discussing and talking about the persecuted church in Nigeria and what's happened in Northern Africa and the militant Muslims and the Boko Haram and all that they're doing in Northern Africa and all over North Africa and decimating it with violence and kidnappings and killings. And as I was watching this and it came to the end, I was overwhelmed. I was just overwhelmed as I listened to this and thought about it. And as I scan over the world, as you and I scan over the world and see all the civil unrest in so many countries, in one estimate, some say as many as 70% of the world is under some kind of unrest and political turmoil. And we also read in here, as I've told you many times, about the persecuted church. It is crazy all over the world. Do you find yourself getting overwhelmed? I was, and oftentimes I am. And we have our own issues here in Canada with racial and ethnic and gang turf wars in many major cities. Also the gun violence and the prostitution, the human trafficking, and the abortion problem. And I could go on and on. You could go on and on with all that's going on in just our country. So around your tables, why don't you take a few minutes. What in this world or in your life steals your peace and gets you angry or overwhelmed? What causes fear and sometimes the desire to just hide? What steals your peace, gets you angry or overwhelmed? What causes fear and sometimes the desire to just hide? Take a few minutes, talk around your table.
Exactly. Yeah. 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 Yeah.
Too much news or too much social media or too much stuff. That's one of the things we learned in COVID, that people were on the news too much and it got overwhelming. Just back off from it. You don't have to watch the news or check the internet 5-10 times a day. You don't. You actually don't. You have my permission to maybe check it only once a day. Right? We don't have to get into that. But there's times it just, like, we want to run away and hide, we want to be like an ostrich and stick our heads in the sand. The problem is that our butt is still out in the real world, right? And so we have to go, sorry if I said that, but anyways, we have to walk in this world. And there's times when maybe you want to say the same thing, you just want to yell it out and say, come Lord Jesus, hurry up and come, hurry up second advent. We're in big trouble here, all over the earth. And we want to scream and go, where is the peace in this earth? So number one, where is that peace? Number one is, it's in Jesus. God didn't just stay up there in heaven. He came in Jesus. And Jesus actually walked in a world that was, I'd almost think that the Palestine at that time and the Roman authority was probably worse than maybe it is in most of the world now. It was an awful time that he came in. But he came, it's in Jesus. Second of all, it's in Jesus and in us. It's in us. This peace, if we have Jesus in our life, if we call ourselves a Christian, if we believe in Jesus, then we have Jesus in our life through the power of the Holy Spirit. Therefore, we can have peace right in here. We don't have to let the world take away our peace. We don't have to let the world push on us and give us anxiety and fear and anger and overwhelm. The Prince of Peace lives right here. Take your hands and just touch your chest and go, Jesus lives right here. He does. It's biblically true. He lives right in you. We've talked about that. You are the temple of the Holy Spirit. God lived in the tabernacle. Then he lived in the temple, and now he lives in you as the temple of the Holy Spirit. And no matter where we are, no matter what we're going through, He lives in here. He's with you, never to leave you, never to leave me. And then he's in, the peace is in Jesus, and that peace in Jesus is in us, and then it's in the church. Because Jesus dwells in this church, we're all together. And therefore, as we all come together as the body of Christ, then there's peace in this place. We often hear that peace comes through strength. We think that a military force is the most powerful fighting force, and enemies will back down, then we'll have peace. As I was thinking about what's going on in Nigeria, and if you're not familiar with the news, over the last couple of weeks, over the last month, there have been over 400 children and teenagers from schools kidnapped by the militant Muslims and Boko Haram and all of that, have kidnapped them, broken into schools, and taken them away. You know what I found myself praying? Okay. I'm a bit of a pacifist, okay? But I prayed, Jesus, in your name and authority, with your angels, would you just burst in? I didn't use the word slaughter, but whatever the word is, would you just get in there and show your power and stand everyone down and rescue those children? Sometimes, I just want you to do something powerful. Anybody with me on that? Just show your power. We sing the song, show your power, show your glory. Just do it, Jesus. I'm sick and tired of some of the horrendous evil I see in this world. Sick and tired of it. And sometimes that's all I can pray. Yeah, we're told to God have mercy on those people that kidnap, but those children, those teenagers, and all the people in the world that are under oppression, do something, please. The kind of peace envisioned during Advent comes not through military victory or the avoidance of reality. Sometimes we just want to go, la, 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 la. I just want to shut my ears, shut my eyes from it. But through Jesus indwelling us, he brings true peace by honestly addressing and working in our own deeper sources of division in our life. Now, okay, we can go, what about the world? Okay, it starts with you and me. We can't do peace out there until it starts here. So Jesus brings peace by honestly addressing and working to heal our deeper sources of division and fear and pride and overwhelm and anxiety and depression and everything that goes on. He's working on that, and we need to work on that. And if you're struggling, talk to me, talk to somebody. Let's work on that with Jesus. And then Jesus reconciles all things to himself, offering healing and restoration through love and forgiveness, his love and forgiveness, and together our love and forgiveness with each other, thereby receiving peace. So let me ask this question. Does the peace of Jesus abide in my life? Does the peace of Jesus abide in your life? Do I have a personal relationship with the Prince of Peace? Do I have peace in my heart? That's where it starts. And if you're here this morning and you're not sure, or you're thinking, I don't have a personal relationship with Jesus, that's where it starts. It starts inviting Jesus into your heart and life. Say, Jesus, I need you. I don't have peace. I'm looking at this world and I go, I don't know what to do. I'm overwhelmed or I'm afraid. Jesus, I invite you to come into my life. Would you live right here? Forgive me of my sins and I give you my life. That's where peace starts. And we sit with Jesus. Practically, it involves sitting with Jesus and enjoying peace. We can't rush peace. Jesus, give me peace, and then we're on to our next thing. Have we done that? We have to take time to sit with Jesus. To sit there and even to put our hands on our chest or give us a hug and just say, Jesus, in the quietness of this moment, I sit here with your peace and your presence inside of me. There's that personal peace where he says, peace I leave with you, not as the world gives, but deep in the heart that Jesus gives to your heart. As we sit in that overwhelm, as we sit in that fear, as we sit at whatever is trying to steal the peace, we sit there for a few minutes. 5 minutes, 10 minutes, 15 minutes, half an hour, whatever it is, to just sit there with him and say, Jesus, you're the Prince of Peace. You live inside of me. I was reading a blog the other day. I get this blog from Todoist, which is a task list, and it's an app. And they send, once a month, they send a blog. And Naomi, who writes most of it, she writes in there, yeah, I'm in the overwhelm. I'm like, okay, how many of you get really stressed at Christmas? Nobody? One person. Two people. Can I have three? Three. Four. Can I go with five? Can I go with two? How many of you are overwhelmed at Christmas? Like, really? That's amazing. Or you're lying. Because all I hear is I'm not saying for me, good for you, okay? Bless you, okay? But I often hear at Christmas, everybody's overwhelmed. Got this to do and that to get and there to go, you know? And Christmas brings up a level of stress and anxiety and all of that kind of stuff. And so Naomi was writing, she goes, she found the other day, she's not a Christian, okay? At least as far as I know. But anyway, so she's just writing, and she found herself in overwhelm. And with all that's going on in her life and her family, and she found herself on the floor with her two kids. You know what she was doing? She was coloring in a coloring book with her two kids. She goes, it was one of the most relaxing things I could do. Do we have coloring books? I don't know. Do we have any more? Our kids are too old for that. That's what I have to do with them at Christmas. You know what? I dare you. I double dog dare you. You know what? I don't care how old you are, Kevin. Get a coloring book. Get a coloring book. There's something about, actually, I know, pray and talk to Jesus and all, but there's something about a coloring book, not an electronic one, a real coloring book with a crayon. We were out at Montana's with some friends of ours last night, and they had, Montana's always has crayons. I should have just sat there and started coloring a little bit. I thought, that is pretty neat. Secondly, does the peace of Jesus abide with us in our church? Does the peace of Jesus abide with us in our church? When we get together Sunday mornings, or like we did last Sunday, in the morning, in the afternoon, in the evening, around Pisa, what a great day that was last week. That was a great time. When we get together, is the Prince of Peace in our church? Are there encouraging relationships when we meet together? Both here and in the community. So I was at Tim Hortons this week on Friday with the gentleman, and then we joined with a couple other gentlemen that I knew, and we had a good long conversation. And that was a fun conversation, and I think it was a peaceful conversation. I think it was an encouraging. Is that wherever we are we encouraging those around us? Is there a sense of peace that we can bring? Are there relationships here in our church that maybe needs some peace? It needs some reconciliation. Maybe needs some repair. Are there relationships in your world that need some peace? That need some reconciliation? That need some repair? Thirdly, does the peace of Jesus abide in the places of our world where we walk? Are we people of peace? I wish I could bring peace to the conflicts of the world and bring peace to all its problems. If I could wave a wand, if I could do something to do that, but all I can do is pray. I don't know how to help the bigger problems in the world. I don't know what to do. But there's two things that I do. I pray. And then in our giving, we choose a couple of ministries, a couple of places that we care about, and I give money to that, and to this, and to that, because I can't solve all the world's problems. But I can help to by praying for that ministry and those people that help those things, and then I give towards those organizations and those ministries. We can do something. We can help some people. We can't help everyone, but we can help some. As Jesus continues to bring his work of bringing real, lasting peace throughout the earth, we can participate in that work. We're the body of Christ. Jesus isn't here physically. He's here through us. And so as a body, we can impact the world where we find ourselves. We can join with Jesus by embracing his nonviolent ways of forgiveness, caring for our neighbors, and extending generous love towards all people. Now, I want to read a passage that you're very familiar with, but it's interesting, out of Isaiah chapter 9. This was written about 700 years before Jesus was born. 700 years. That's like being written in the 1300s. Now, if we roll back. So 700 years before Jesus was born, this is what Isaiah wrote. And it's not going to go up there, so I either want you to just listen to it, or on your phones or in your Bibles. It says, "Nevertheless, that time of darkness and despair, that time of darkness and despair will not go on forever." So now understand, he's prophetically talking about Jesus' time. But I think some of it reaches beyond that. "Nevertheless, that time of darkness and despair will not go on forever. But there will be a time in the future when the Galilee of the Gentiles," the Galilee of the Gentiles, he's pointing ahead already. Who's in Galilee? Jesus. Right, that's the right answer. He's pointing ahead, "which lies along the road that runs between the Jordan and the sea to be filled with glory. And the people who walk in darkness will see a great light. And those who live in the land of deep darkness, a light will shine. You will enlarge the nation of Israel, and his people will rejoice. They will rejoice before you as people rejoice at the harvest, and like warriors dividing the plunder. For you, he's talking ahead to Jesus, for you will break the yoke of their slavery and lift the heavy burden from their shoulders. You will break the oppressor's rod, you just as you did when you destroyed the army of Midian. The boots of the warrior and the uniforms bloodstained by war will be burned. They will be fuel for the fire. For a child is born to us, a son is given to us, the government will rest on his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. And his government and its peace will never end. He will rule with fairness and justice from the throne of his ancestor David for all eternity. I love this. The passionate commitment of the Lord of Heaven's armies. Heaven's armies. Those angels, those warrior angels will come. And they will exact fairness and justice under the hand of Jesus. The passionate commitment of the Lord of Heaven's armies will make this happen. Exclamation point. I look at this world and I'm so overwhelmed. Jesus, would you do something? And we can't always see what he's doing. We look at it and go, he's not doing anything. We actually don't realize what he is doing. We can't see it. So we've got to believe, we must believe, and God says, I'm doing it. He is working. We just can't see it all. But there will come a time when he will take over. And he will rule with fairness and justice. So I'm going to ask the worship team to come up, and I'm going to read one more passage to further encourage us. I'm reading out of Colossians, written about 50, 60 AD after the birth of Jesus. And the Apostle Paul, who met Jesus and lived for Jesus and gave his life for Jesus, says to his church back then, and he says to us, and he's also looking ahead. I want you to see how he's looking ahead. For he has rescued us from the kingdom of darkness. He's rescued us from the kingdom of darkness and transferred us to the kingdom of his dear son. His kingdom. And we purchased freedom, and he's forgiven our sins. Our sins are forgiven. Christ is the visible image of the invisible God. He existed before anything was created and is supreme over all creation. And through him, God created everything in the heavenly realms and on earth. And he made the things we see and the things that we can't see, such as thrones and kingdoms and rulers and authorities in the unseen world. Everything was created through him and for him. He existed before anything else, and he holds all creation together. He holds it together. And Christ is also the head of the church. He is the head of us, which is his body. He is the beginning, supreme over all who rise from the dead. For he is first in everything. For God in all his fullness was pleased to live in Christ, and through him God reconciled everything to himself. He made peace. Listen to that. He made peace with everything in heaven and on earth by means of Christ's blood on the cross. And then the Apostle Paul says, this includes you. You and me. This includes you who were once far away from God. You were as enemies, separated from him by our evil thoughts and actions. And yet now he is reconciled. He's brought us close to himself through the death of Christ in his physical body. And as a result, he has brought you into his presence. Jesus lives here, but we're also in his presence, here and now. And you are holy and blameless as you stand before him without a single fault. But you must continue to believe this truth and stand firmly in it. Don't drift away from the assurance that you received when you heard the good news. Jesus is still in charge. He's got you and me. He's got this world. And he is coming back, the second advent. And it may be overwhelming in this world, but he's got us. He's got this whole world in his hands. Scriptures teach us. And I encourage us in our own worlds that he's got us. Let's stand and let's pray. And then we'll sing in worship. Oh Jesus, we worship you. We honor, we pray to you, Jesus. And Jesus, everything that we shared around our tables, anything we shared in our conversations over coffee this morning, anything that currently overwhelms us, Jesus, and steals our peace, we say no. And Jesus, we invite you into our hearts. Would you bring peace and would you push out all the fear and anxiety and worry and depression and struggle and overwhelm and fear and everything, Jesus. Lord Jesus, you are the Prince of Peace.